Surely come quickly, Lord Jesus. Brother Bill scared me when he said turn to Revelation, but you know the Lord always takes care of me. You know what I'm saying? Go to Revelation chapter 6. And when you get there, just hold that spot. We're going to read a couple more scriptures. They're not in the text, but God's laid on my heart to go along with it. So, Revelation chapter 6. That drives me crazy. Okay. All right. First, go to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. I said, just hold it when you get to Revelation 6. Wow, y'all don't listen very good. Lord help them. All right. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7 says this. I still hear pages. In verse 7. All right. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel is right after the book of Ezekiel. You need a hint. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And before I go any further, are you found written in the book? Now we know God is going to save a remnant of His people. He's promised them. But listen, you got to be in the book. If you want to escape what's fixing to take place one day, you got to be in the book. Are you in the book? Now go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I promise we're going to get to our text in a minute. Y'all can get to sit down. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. I could go with more than that, but I'll stop. Matthew 24. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be short. Now, go to our text. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And they went out, another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Lord, I'm thankful to be in your house with your people. I'm thankful for the privilege, the honor, and opportunity given me to stand before the congregation. And Father, I just ask that you be with me now. I pray that you just bring to my mind remembrance of those things I've studied. May I speak with boldness and authority those things, Lord, you'd have me to speak. Lord, let me just speak in a manner that everyone can understand. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and guide us this morning in this service. Lord, I don't know the spiritual condition of those that I stand before, but you do. Lord, if there's one that needs to come for whatever reason, may they come and do what you would have them to do. The invitation's given. Pray, Father, the sick, afflicted of our membership. Pray for those other prayer requests that were mentioned. I pray for this country, leaders of this nation. I pray for our military. I thank you for them, their sacrifices, and for their families. And I'm thankful for this great country. You blessed us to live in. But I also pray for this country. Pray you'd send a revival, that hearts would be changed, souls saved, Lord, your honor and glory. Bless the service. Everything that we say and do, may it bring glory to you and honor, for it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Morning, I want to speak on the subject of horsemen on the horizon. Horsemen on the horizon. And I'm going to stand before you. I know that there's preachers here that know the book of Revelation a lot better than I do, can teach it and preach it a whole lot better than I can. But I know a little bit. And that little bit is enough. And if you study the book of Revelation and you look at chapters 4 and 5, that's dealing with us being up there with the Lord around His throne, praising God and having joy and singing praises unto the Lamb. And I love chapter 4 because it promises that the church one day is going to be taken home through the rapture. Because what did that voice say to John? Come up hither! Chapter 4. Chapter 5, again, 4 and 5, I tell you what, it's good to study that because it's encouraging, because I know that one day we're going to be home. And we better be preparing for worship. That's why we're here today, right? But when you come to chapter 6, bam! You see, he's going to be dealing, in fact, chapter 6, all the way to chapter 19, he's going to be dealing with those that are left behind. Those that had no time for God. Those that had never been saved. Those that wanted to just accept the world and live their lives and do as they please. Well, listen, judgment is coming. And he's going to begin dealing with two forms of judgment. It's the seal judgments, and then it's the trumpet judgment. And this part that we're talking about takes place after the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And beloved, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's sobering. It's sobering how God is going to judge. You know, you hear people all the time, Oh, if God's a loving God, He wouldn't hurt no one. He wouldn't judge nobody. Listen, He is loving. He proved that 2,000 years ago. But He's also holy, He's righteous, and He's not going to let your sin just go away. He's not just going to say, it's okay, you messed up, all right. I'll accept it. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect, that's true. But our sins have to be washed by blood. There is no forgiveness of sin without blood. None. But He's given man time and opportunity to repent. But listen and listen close. One day He's coming. He's going to take us home, and those left are going to face these sealed judgments. So with that said, and by the way, you know me. I'm just an old hillbilly preacher. I'm going to preach it pretty simple so you can understand. Because I've sat under some preaching. I've sat under some teaching. I've listened to tapes and radios, and they confuse the fire out of me. Because they speak and say words that are over this little old finite mind. So you don't have to worry about that with me. You're going to be able to understand what I'm talking about. So with that said, are y'all ready? Now, it's 20 till. I'm not going to promise we'll be out of here at noon. Verse 1 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder." Now, everybody knows when you hear thunder, it means something. It means there is a storm a-coming. Amen. So what we see here in verse 1, John hears thunder because God's wrath is about to be poured out upon the earth. And one of the four beasts sang, said, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow. And I want to begin by saying, I've had people say, "Well, that's Jesus." No. Sorry. It's a counterfeit. You know, we are geared as human beings. Hey, a rider on a white horse is good. That's the good guy. Not this one. Amen. He said, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow." Did you notice it didn't say arrows? You see, what we're talking about is the Antichrist, beloved. He's the one on that white horse. The Antichrist. You say, "But how do you know? I mean, doesn't it say something in chapter 19 about Jesus being on a white horse?" It sure does. But let me tell you, first of all, Jesus is in heaven opening the seals. How can He open the seals and be on this white horse? Secondly, it says a crown was given unto Him. Listen to me. The reason Jesus wears many crowns is because of who He is. No one gives Him crowns. He gives crowns away. Amen? Antichrist is going to be crowned. They're going to give Him a crown because when He comes in on the scene, He is going to come in and He's going to have a message of peace. And the world's going to be in total chaos. Understand, when the church is gone, there has to be an explanation. What happened to all of them Christians? Well, He's going to have an explanation. And He's going to be able to come in and, oh, He's going to be able to talk. And He's going to be able to explain things. Sort of like some of these old politicians. Amen. We laugh, but people follow them hook, line, and sinker. Oh, it's just the way He speaks. He's such an orator. Well, the Antichrist is going to be the same way. And He's going to convince the world He's a man of peace. The Bible tells us later on He will sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And by the way, you're always hearing about Israel and the Palestinians and the Arabs and the Iranians. You're always constantly hearing about the Middle East. And so far, nothing's ever been solved. And I'll go ahead and tell you, nothing will be solved until Jesus comes back and sets up his millennial reign. But listen, everybody has a peace plan. Well, guess what? The Antichrist is going to supposedly have a peace plan. And what's going to happen is he's going to sign this plan. And in the middle of that plan, 7 years, guess what's going to take place? He's going to break that promise and that plan. He's going to stand in the temple of God and declare he is God. That's called the abomination of desolation. So he comes with a bow. Doesn't have any arrows. Why? Because he's going to come in and he's just going to sway everybody. Here I am, follow me. No arrows. Now notice what it says. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. You see, he's going to go before the whole world, and he's going to hook, line, and sinker every one of them. He's going to fool everybody. Everybody's going to say he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But notice what it says. Let me go with verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. There went out another horse. That was red. Now red, picture of what? Fire. Right? Not only the picture of fire, but also destruction and blood. That's right, sister. You see, what's going to take place is there's going to be nations. Or eventually they're going to wake up, especially at that time, the abomination of desolation. They're going to wake up and they're going to realize, no. He's not going to rule over us. And the Antichrist is then going to declare war on everyone that stands against him. And war is going to break out. Now you think that we have wars, and we do. But did not Jesus say there would be wars and rumors of war? And that's definitely happening today. There's a war somewhere in the world going on. But we're talking about a world war like never seen before. You know, everybody says, oh, I'm afraid of World War III. World War III ain't going to have nothing on this war. You see, he's going to declare war. And understand, I've never been in the military. I've never been on a battlefield, so I can't tell you firsthand anything. But I can say this from those that have seen war and battle, something you don't want to cherish or something you want to talk about because it's so devastating. And the Bible says the rider on the second horse was red in power, was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. Think about that. And there was given a great sword. Notice that word great. That means going to have the power enabled to him that war is absolutely worst of all get out. Think about that. And he was given the power to make war. World War II, history was my favorite subject in school. It and football, and that's about all I was good at. But when it comes to history, I love history. American history, world history. And if I'm right, I want to say that in World War II, there was over 50 million people worldwide that lost their lives during World War II. Understand, when the Lord pours out these seal judgments, a fourth part of the population of the world is going to be lost. Just for simple math, not my best subject. 6 billion people. That would be 1.25 being people killed because of war. Think about that. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And this is the sad thing. All of those soldiers that are fighting, understand, those that die in those foxholes, when they die, guess what? They go to hell. Because there's no churches left on earth praying for them. There's no sermons preached, no songs sung, no mothers and fathers praying for their sons. They die, they go to hell. Another battle, just to mention, and for the second time I won't go there, but during this time frame, Russia and her allies will invade Israel. Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. They will invade Israel, but guess what happens? God miraculously stops the nonsense. They are delivered by the hands of Almighty God, and the Bible says that for 7 years, Israel is going to be burning and doing away with the weapons of war. Can you imagine? That's another sermon. Notice, they should kill one another. Lots of killing going on today, but not in comparison to what's going to take place during the tribulation, those left behind. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. Black horse, destitution. That black represents famine. You see, any war that's ever been fought here on earth, after the war, what is always left behind? Famine. Famine. And beloved, there's going to be a lot of people starved to death. In fact, you know, just today, in our time, not today, but in our time frame. Now, it's estimated 4 million people, as children and adults alike, starve to death every year. Isn't that amazing? And you know what really gets to me? We live in a nation that's one of the richest, if not the richest, in the world. We throw away more food than people in the rest of the world have the ability to eat. In fact, we throw away more than probably any nation. We're wasteful. And we've all been guilty, haven't we? You see, understand, you and I can go to a grocery store anytime we please. We can fill up our cabinets. We can fill up our refrigerator. We can fill up our deep freeze. And we can eat anytime we want, as much as we want, when we want. But it ain't that way in other parts of the world. And when the tribulation takes place, beloved, listen to me, there's going to be nothing but famine and starvation. People are going to die because they don't have enough to eat. Look at what he says. "And I heard a voice," verse 6, "in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny.'" Now, a measure is talking about what is required to meet the needs of a man for a day, a working man. A measure of wheat for a penny. That's today's wages. Talking about inflation. Think about this. Now, wheat, of course, flour and whatnot, those are necessities of life. And a man during this time will literally work a day's wages just to purchase and have enough food for that day. Or he talks about barley, 3 measures of barley for a penny. Now, barley back then, pretty much used for livestock. But if a person so desires, he can work for 3 measures of barley and feed himself and maybe someone else. But listen to me. I don't think people's thought of this. Those that are on disability, those that have no ability to work, you know what's going to happen to you? If you're left behind, you're either going to starve to death or they're going to put you down. Think about that. You say, oh, that couldn't happen. Folk, be prepared. Read the Bible. Make preparation. You don't want to be left behind, is what I'm trying to get across to you. And notice it says, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. You say, well, preacher, why would John refer to that? Well, I'll tell you why. Even though those that are facing starvation and famine and doing everything they can just to get by day to day because of the famine, there's always going to be rich folk. There's going to be necessities. I say necessities you and I would consider necessity that rich folks don't even consider, but they're always going to have what they need. They're not. What am I saying? The rich get richer. Don't you see that today? The rich always get richer. And the poor still struggle. They're poor. And that's what he's referring to. But when he had opened the fourth, I heard the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, pale horse. That pale comes from the Greek word where we get our English word chlorophyll, chlorine. It's a yellowish green looking. In other words, it's a picture of someone that's dead. It's death. And look at what it said. And his name that sat on him was Death. What's he talking about? Death. Death of the physical body. And hell followed with him. Hell is where those that die without Jesus spend eternity. Death and hell followed. Sat on a pale horse. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. As I said earlier, fourth part of the population of the earth. Think about that. Gone by death. And understand, those people that die, that fourth part that affects everyone, those that die without Jesus go to hell. It's amazing, huh? When you think about it. But notice what it says. Fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword. Well, we know that that sword represents what? War. Okay? War. And with hunger, famine, people starving to death. And then the word says, and with death. You say, well, wait a second, preacher. It says death, and now it says death. What's that? Well, that death is referring to disease, pestilences, what I believe with all my heart. Pestilences, disease. Think about it. During war and during famine, people are starving to death. Your system breaks down. And disease come in. And there's all kinds of diseases out there. There's one they don't even have a cure for yet. What's it called? The cornea virus? They say it comes from bats. Now, folks, please don't be eating bats, okay? I mean, I'm from the country and I've ate a little bit of everything, but I've never desired or never had any bat. I don't think I'm going to eat any bat. Amen. But that's what they think it's from. But they don't have a cure. They don't have a clue. They're still checking. All I know is there's been hundreds of thousands of people already die. Think about how it will be during the tribulation if you're left behind. War. You survived that, then you got starvation. If you survived that, then you got what? Illness, sickness, disease. And then, notice what he says. And with the beasts of the earth. You say, Pastor, beasts? You mean bears? You mean lions? You mean tigers? I mean rats. That's what I believe he's talking about. Rodents. You know what happens to towns that go through war? They're all bombarded and blown up and whatnot. You'll find heavy population of rats. Disease going around? Rats. And by the way, if this is a known fact, if you killed 95% of the population of rats, they will be replenished back to that same 95% within 1 year. Think about that. In other words, you can't get rid of them. Rats. Now, I've seen little rats in my lifetime, and I've seen some big rats in my lifetime. I wouldn't want them chomping on me. But the main point is this. What we've described here in chapter 6, the four horses, they're the seal judgment, just these four, is enough to let me know I don't want no part of it. I want to get out of here before that begins. So the first thing I want to say is this. Thank God I don't have to worry about this. Thank God I don't have to worry that I'm going to face the tribulation because I'm going to go up hither. And so are you if you've been washed by the blood of Christ. And I'm thankful. And I definitely want to get out of here before any of that takes place. And we're going to. The second thing I want to say, after reading this, it breaks my heart because this whole world is full of people that don't want no part of God and His love and His grace and His mercy. They want no part. I think about my loved ones. I've got family. Unless they repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to face that. They don't get saved. I've got friends. I've got neighbors that aren't prepared for the time that is coming. You see, it breaks my heart that they don't want to hear. Oh, that's just a book. That could never happen. It's a guaranteed fact it's going to happen. What are we going to do about it? You and I as born again children of God should be doing everything in our power, sharing the gospel with our family, our friends, our neighbors, and everyone God places in our path. Amen. We should do it. Not be afraid. Listen, even if they mock you, reject the message, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. Listen to me, please. Do it anyways. At least they heard. Think about it. Listen. I hear hoof prints on the horizon. He's coming. Coming for His church. We're going to be taken home. And at the end of the 7-year tribulation, He's coming back again. And all of those left upon the face of the earth, this is the judgments that they're going to be facing. You think the seal judgments are bad? Wait for the trumpet judgments. God's trying to warn us. It's imperative we get serious and we get the gospel out, because this is what they're going to face. So what do you need to do today? You're not saved. You need to come and give your heart to Jesus. He'll save you. You'll come. If you are saved but not living like you should, come make things right and then get to telling people about the Lord. Church, we've got a big responsibility. And we're going to give an account to God. So let's start doing what we're supposed to do. Let's uphold our responsibility. And one day we'll hear, well done, good and faithful.